Hello everyone, I hope you are keeping well. Welcome to another episode of the Middle-Aged Gaming Podcast, the number one show where we talk about games, gaming philosophy, predictions, and pretty much everything under the sun. Your hosts are Adam, Crean, Antoine, and Phil. Pretty much whoever can be there for the show because, as you know, middle-aged gamers are busy. We have family, commitments, work, and so many other things. Enough said, let's get on with the show.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to Middle Age Gaming Podcast, the number one podcast for middle-aged gamers. Good evening, or good morning if you're in Taiwan. Our podcast host today, Adam Crean in Taiwan, and myself, Antoine, in Canada. And before everything else, if you like our podcast, please subscribe to our show on YouTube or on your favorite podcast platform. And of course, Crean in the middle of the show will tell us which podcast platform you should download for your phone. So please stay at least for the middle of the show or cut to that part already. And you will be with us for the next exactly 37 minutes. And today's exactly 37, that's a sweet spot. So today we are doing you a favor because as in a bit more than a month, it's Black Friday. So today we are going to try to make you start your shopping list. Not for Christmas, but for Black Friday. We're going to talk about hardware. But before that, as usual, we're going to talk about the game that we played this week. And we're going to start with Adam. What have you played this week?
I've been a busy little bee. I finished .hackGU Roots. Oh, sorry, not Roots. Roots was a show. .hackGU Last Recode. So I finished that. And then on the stream, I finished Carrion. And I am currently in the final mission of Dusk Diver 2, so that one's almost finished as well. So within a week span, I'm going to have finished three games.
Nice. So. Carrion must have been fast, right? I thought you just started it last week.
I did. I played it for 2 weeks on stream and finished it, so it's not a very long game. Pretty short. I also had the DLC, and I was able to... I had some time at the end of my stream, so I cracked open the DLC and played that, and... breeze through that pretty quickly as well.
Okay, I haven't seen you stream it, so just a quick question because I know Crean will ask, what would be your mark after finishing the game?
Okay, so for Carrion, I'd probably say, I don't know, maybe a 8.5 out of 10. It's not super complicated. Nice. Yeah, it's short. If you're looking for something quick and easy, then it's really good. I really liked some of the puzzle elements of it. It's pretty interesting, like I said last time, where the bigger you are, your capabilities change. For example, at small levels, you can shoot this little webbing and you can cloak yourself, whereas at the middle level, you can do a charge attack that can smash through some kinds of walls, and you can also put these spikes around you for a defensive kind of thing. And then at the biggest size, you can create kind of an armor around yourself, and you can also shoot out these giant tentacles that can like pull things out of the wall. And some of the puzzle elements are you need to get bigger or smaller to get through certain areas. But the one thing that I didn't like about it is the fact that there's no map. So there were definitely times where I was a bit lost. And so I complete an area and then it sends me to a new area. And then I end up back in a place I had already been. And it's like, okay, now that I'm not in a new space, where do I go? Because I'm back into an old area. So then I just kind of have to roam around and figure out eventually what I can do. So it would have been a lot better, I think, if there was some kind of map where I could see where I had been and where I had yet to explore. But other than that, yeah, it was a great game.
Okay, Crean, what about yourself?
So I have, surprisingly, I finished two roguelike card games in like the space of 3 days, which is weird because I've usually struggled with them. But I think you guys remember, I think I streamed Roguebook at one point last year. I loaded it up again this week. I'm like, okay, this is cool. And I did maybe two runs or three runs. And then on the fourth run, I'm like, oh, wow, this is going and going. And oh my God, this was the last boss. I'm done. And so that was really fun. Highly recommended for the art. I would also recommend getting the extra character they have. There's also a fifth unlockable character that I guess once you finish it with everybody, you unlock another character. I played Monster Train again, which is another really famous roguelike that was super hot on Twitch when it first came out. I did that. I played it before for an hour. And I died in that run. And then I did a second run this time and magically I finished it. I feel like my computer AI or something on my computer is making games easier because I keep dying all the time. So, okay, we'll make you less frustrated. So that's done. I'm now playing something called Legends of the Keepers, which is another roguelike card game because You know me, I'm a bit obsessed with doing one particular thing at the same time. I literally, on my Steam list, I have all my favorited stuff, which is at the top of your Steam list. I favorited all these roguelikes and went go through them one at a time. Legend of the Keeper is really fun. It's a pixel art. You are a dungeon master and you're trying to kill heroes and you're trying to get to a particular place, I guess, is my guess. I don't particularly remember, but you're just laying out monsters and you're upgrading them and you're training them. You're getting higher monsters. You're doing like a mix of people and there's like status things of fire, ice, nature, physical damage. It's definitely a bit more involved in a sense, but it's pretty fun. I'm looking forward to giving that a go. I'm also going to give Everspace a try, which is a space roguelike at some point. But yeah, all roguelikes for me for the foreseeable future. Antoine, what about you?
Yeah, so just a question because I'm having a hard time picturing like a card game roguelike. Is that the same kind of Inscription?
It's like Inscription, yes, but it's basically you're trying to get to an end of some point and you do a run, you die, and you get advantages like usually more cards, more life, or more money, or you unlock like extra stuff here. It's just like that.
Okay, fair enough. For myself, I finished Fuga first time and I nearly finished it a second time. And I was extremely impressed by the New Game Plus, which for me is one of the most achieved that I ever played. I really thought, I talked about it a couple of weeks ago, that I really thought that you finish your first game on the New Game Plus, you keep everything, your levels, your interactions, absolutely everything that you did, your level of weapons, the level of your tank. And I thought that you would just roll over the game, but you don't. Maybe you roll over the, maybe up to the fourth or fifth chapter, but the tanks in front, they level up the same as you. When in your first playthrough, they hit you at 1,000 points. In the second playthrough, they hit you 3,000-4,000 points, no problem. So it's the strategic aspect, even though you play a second time, it's still there and you still stress. And it's made to be played twice because you have some kind of little book referencing all the little the special images and the interaction and little cutscenes that you have. And you can't have them all if you don't have the bad end. So you are supposed to have the bad end in the first play because if you don't know what to do, you will have it. Because there's a specific action to do with one of the characters. If you don't do it, two chapters later, I'm not going to tell you what he does because that would be spoiling, but that's basically the bad ending. And if you do it on second playthrough, because at the end of the first playthrough, you have a bad ending and they give you a couple of tips. You had a bad ending. Maybe you should have done this. Maybe you should have done that. They are not too clear about it, but clear enough that you understand what to do. And in the second playthrough, so you can have the good ending and finish everything. Very easy. If you are obsessed with to platinum your game, it's easy to do it. And yeah, no, so a little gem of a game that I really recommend. And since now I think, unless you guys have questions, because I could talk about Fuga for a very long time, I think it's time for... Oh, yeah, sorry.
Yeah, and I want to ask, and now that you're potentially done with Fuga, what is next for you?
That's a question I wanted to ask you guys and you listeners. I have no idea what to play, because I was playing Evil Genius 2 before, but if I go back to it, I would be bored to death, so... I actually have no idea.
Well, what are you feeling? Are you looking for something action-y, RPG-ish, card game, adventure?
I want something with a gripping story. You know, like something where the lore grips you. Well, I talked about the lore of Fuga last week, and I was ready to really pick up a book and read about it. Another thing about the second playthrough of Fuga, the New Game Plus, there's in your book, there's a question mark basically on... There's a question mark. You can only unlock if you play a second time, and each time you reach a village, you can't do the action you did in the first playthrough, so instead they give you a little part of the story. They give you more, in other words, to make sure your second playthrough is extremely interesting and you need to go to the end to learn the whole story.
I think Adam is the best person to suggest a story game for you since I don't care about story.
And just to finish on this, if you have the bad end, you don't have the real end, but there's a little teaser of Fuga 2, Melodies of Steel 2, which is going to come out next year. And if you don't have the real good end, you can't see this little teaser.
Adam, what do you suggest for Antoine?
Well, if he's looking for story, because the other side has some really good lore behind it. The story in the game itself isn't super deep, but as you go along, you'll unlock memories, and then you can have a lore tab and you can see the past of the mother and all that. So other side's really good for that. If you're looking for story, I don't know. I've heard Cyberpunk's pretty good, but I don't know if he wants to get into that one.
Cyberpunk would be the death of my computer, I'm afraid.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. I'm trying to think. I'll have to think about it and let you know, yeah.
I'm sure there's some game in backlog that maybe will. And I think Phil told me about a Warhammer multiplayer game he wanted to play with me, but I think it's in November, so I still have to fill in the gap.
Darktide, yeah. Yes.
Darktide, yeah. But that's... Oh, I could do Vermintide. Huh. Well, we'll see. But I guess that's the end of the show, and now Crian will introduce our old new sponsor, always the same.
Yes, I will. So, ladies and gentlemen, if you are listening to this podcast or watching this stream later or watching the YouTube video, please don't forget to have a look at our wonderful sponsor, Newsly. So Newsly is an all-in-one audio super app for iOS and Android. It picks up the most trending articles on the web on topics you choose at any given moment and reads them to you in a natural human voice. The entire web becomes listable for the first time all in one place. Browse articles from topics you choose and start playing. Stop scrolling and start listening. Who has time to spend time reading? This is the end, right? We're the short attention generation. Just hit that button, let Newsly read it for you. You can follow any topic as specific as you like, from sports, tech, business, sci-fi, Bitcoin, or even the Kardashians. It'll find you the latest articles and read them to you aloud. And they have a podcast section where you can find us. As I mentioned previously, you can find us on when you click on podcasts, and then from podcasts, you click on featured. You'll see our show over there with Adam's wonderful art, and you get to see a lot of other people who are also featured. You can check some of those shows out as well if you're looking for a new podcast suggestion. And they have podcasts as well, so trending in over 80 countries. Download and use Newsly for free from www.newsly.me, so N-E-W-S-L-Y. Also use the promo code MiddleAgeGaming if you want a 1 month free premium subscription. Please don't forget to use that promo code that tells Newsly that you care about us, that you're going to support our show. It also helps support us as well, pay for restream and other things that we like to do on this show. And that is it. And let's move on to today's topic.
All right. So who's going to go first?
So I believe the topic today was Crian. So, hey, Europe.
So, guys, today's topic is about hardware. And Tron mentioned Black Friday. Actually, it is Amazon Prime Day for pretty much the whole world, because anyone can be Amazon Prime member wherever you live. You just don't get Prime shipping, but you get all the other benefits. So Amazon Prime is ongoing right now. It's their second Prime Day event. There's a whole lot of reasons beyond that. We're not going to talk about them because they're depressing, but it is ongoing at the moment. If you're looking for some of these gadgets, they are on sale. So keep an eye out on that. I chose this topic because I'm probably moving, like 99% moving in the next 1 month or so to a bigger place. I can finally have a separate podcast studio away from all these board games and other stuff that exist in this room. But yeah, no, I think a lot of us are working from home, like hybrid working, maybe 3 days at home, 2 days in the office, or 2 days in the office, 3 days at home. You want to have the clear work setup so that you have a space for working, a space for gaming. And I think there's a lot of gadgets that could make your life, your work life, and your gaming life better all together at the same time. And that is what I wanted to highlight with this episode. Besides being somebody who likes to shop online and who loves electronics and gadgets, so this is where I came at it from this episode. Antoine and Adam might have come from a different direction, but that's why you guys tune in for our show, right? Is that three different directions about a topic, so you can see, oh, these are some good ideas. I should buy it, I shouldn't buy it. My first gadget or thing today is, I believe, is a holder for your monitor, which is not the game.
No, that was not it. Sorry.
No worries. So it is the Dualkin Piezo Mount. So basically what it is, if you're looking on Amazon, so the links for all of this stuff will be down in the show notes today. It allows you to put your phone at eyesight, right? So I have my phone within hand's reach for me, right? Also, my phone is perpetually on silent because otherwise I will just never remember to like turn it off or turn it on. So it's always on silent. So the only way I get to see notifications is on my Samsung phone. It'll pop up and flash. And that is why I like this gadget. I can keep my phone next to me because there are apps on my phone, Samsung Health, for example. There's also a bunch of stuff. I have notifications that I think it's easier that I can see it over here and I don't have to have a window open like my WhatsApp window or my Telegram window or my Discord window, because part of my job is to have all of this stuff open, and it's nice if it's on there. And with apps like Samsung Flow, right, I can control my phone from my desktop, which is, again, another sort of added benefit. But yeah, so this is people, if you're attached to your phones, if you're into social media, if you're working from your phone, if there are things in your phone that you just can't put on your computer, this is a great gadget that sits right next to you. It's relatively inexpensive as well. It's $21.99, right? So this is Amazon US. But don't forget, in Taiwan, we get Amazon US. In South Africa, you get Amazon US. So just because I'm saying Amazon US doesn't mean you can't buy it. But you can also find a lot of this stuff in your stores or in your regional equivalents. You can search for like cell phone holder attached to desktop monitor or something like that, and you'll find something like that. So it's just an idea that I thought was really cool for people who need phones. For it could be gaming, it could be working. There's a lot of ways for you to utilize it. All right. And I think the way I imagine this, we go one by one, so it's not just me talking about three things for the same time. So let's go to Antoine next, and then we'll go Adam.
Sure.
All right. Fair enough. Just before I start, I'm interested in your little gadget. How does it hold the phone? Is that a magnet behind the phone, or is that a little handle which grabs your phone?
It's a little, what is the thing, like 3M strip.
Okay, fair enough. Yes. Okay.
So it's really solid. If you're worried about it, I have a $1,000 monitor, and like I have a 3M strip on mine. It's not going to damage it or break it or anything.
Oh,
like
cool.
So you're, it's totally fine. And 3M is pretty strong. Everyone knows the 3M. My phone is about a good 750 grams. Should be fine.
Okay, so my gadget, it's a little bit more pricey, but Canadian is $110, so I imagine that the US would be just under the $100, would be these babies over here. Before, I had some very inexpensive headphones because I'm not listening to music much, and I'm just using it to basically either gaming or watching a YouTube video while I'm playing, so sound quality was never my prime concern. And yet, since I took this, especially for the show, I found that I can't live without it anymore for three things. First of all, quality. Even I saw that I didn't care about it. The audio quality really makes a world of difference when you play. Really, even if you play FPS, you actually realize where people are shooting or where are walking. You can. It's much easier to specially locate yourself and your enemies, or just to listen to, I go back to Fuga, but there's fantastic music in it. You can appreciate them much better. What worried me before was that's why I never took it, is because I thought these stuff are super heavy, and having them like 8 hours, my neck would really be broken. And actually not. I don't know if it's the same for everything. This specific one is, we're not sponsored by Hyperflex, but Hyperflex, I really like your product. So if you want to sponsor us, you know where to come. Yeah, it's Hyperflex Cloud Alpha S. So it's rather inexpensive for this kind of big headset. And it's really cool. I really liked it. So I really advise you to take it. And I'd rather take it wired rather than wireless, just because I don't like the lag.
Oh, Antoine, because like I went through a bunch of like wireless headsets and I have big ears. Like, how does it fit on your ears? How comfortable is it after long periods of time?
That's something which worried me at first, because I had on the ear headset before. So this really covered my ears, and I have big ears, I can tell you, and it fits very comfortably. It comes with two sets of pads. At first, it's some kind of, they come in with some kind of leather pad, which I really don't like, because if for you in Taiwan, if the weather is a bit hot, it makes you really sweaty. And this is the second pad which comes in the box, and it's some kind of very breathable fabric, which are very comfortable. It's quite easy to change, and I wouldn't change. I never tried the little microphone that you see there, because I have this baby here, but I heard that the microphone is quite good. And this comes with this little thing here, which you have a 7.1 surround sound. So you can just turning on and off just like this. So you can control your sound with this and everything. And it really makes, again, the music really very intense in your ears when you just touch this button. So I really recommend that you get a good headset like this. I never tried any others, so I can't make a comparison against Razer or Logitech or something else. I just say that this Hyperflex, that's a dope.
Nice. And it's also made, technically not made in Taiwan, but designed in Taiwan, I would say. So Adam, what about you? What's your gadget of choice?
Not so much a gadget, but the thing I was looking most at is some kind of sound dampening curtain. Yeah, so I'm in a room and I think the sound quality is okay. But one thing that I noticed was when I was doing streaming and my wife used to work, I'd be really talkative and talk very clearly and whatever. But then I noticed once she started working more from home and she was sleeping in, I'd talk a little bit less. I'd talk a little bit quieter. And even though I'm like in my own room, I don't know. It's just a subconscious thing. I'm just like, uh-oh, I don't want to wake her up or whatever. So I think if I could get some sound dampening curtains, it might make my sound a little bit clearer because, yeah, like I said, these are concrete walls. But also I could just put it over the door and then I wouldn't have to worry about sound leaking out. So less for my own personal audio quality and more so that I could just be able to be as loud as I want and not really have to worry about bothering the wife or the neighbors or anything like that. But yeah, that's something that I've been looking at for a while.
What's the material and what's the cost?
The material is a very good question. I'm not entirely sure what it is. It's padded, so I think it's maybe some kind of cotton or something like that. I'm not quite sure what the material is, but it's padded and maybe it has like some foam in there. You can see it's pretty thick from the picture. And the costs vary depending on the brands that you get. So I think usually they'll run less than $100. I think anywhere between $30 to maybe $100, depending on the brand and the material.
So you're paying like $100 for what size? Again, because this is like a fantastic idea.
I think that would be like 2 by 2 meters squared, or give or take.
2 by 2. That's not bad. $100 for 2 by 2. So you probably, maybe if you want to isolate your recording space, like in a hospital sort of way, you'd probably pay like $300-$400 maybe.
Yeah, give or take. Yeah, it'd be comparable to getting sound paneling, but this is a curtain, so you can draw it and roll it up if you want to take it down. So,
can you get it to fit the door inside?
What do you mean inside the door?
When your wife tried to open and try to get into your room, you have this big curtain in front.
So yeah, that's a good question. I don't know. I've always seen them quite a bit larger. I've seen some videos where people use them, for example, if they want to build a recording space in their basement, but they don't want to use panels and stuff like that. So yeah, you might be able to get smaller ones. The ones I've seen are usually quite large, but it might be possible.
Cool. Very nice. All right, that is cool. I'm genuinely surprised. I was surprised by Anton's Kingston HyperX as well. Those are really cool. Okay, moving on to my second choice. It is a computer temperature monitor. Basically, all it is a small, a little LCD panel. I have one over here, actually. As I can show you guys, it's this thing over here. You can actually build one because all it is a Raspberry Pi board on the back. So if you have a kid who's into programming or hardware, you can build one. I use it. Alt tabbing on Windows has always been problematic, especially depending on what games and stuff you have. And especially here in summer, in pretty much all over the world, it's getting hotter. And no matter how hot or how cool your AC keeps your room, your PC is still going to be hot. Last year's 30 series RTX cards, right, which do great 4K, up to 8K in some cases, they run pretty hot. My graphics card, 3070 Ti, hits about 80 degrees when I'm playing like Valheim or other games like that. So it's hot. And this allows me to keep an eye on temperatures. So it allows me to say, okay, maybe I need to open up my side panel and let the hot air out. Again, very cheap. The Amazon price is about $40. It is on sale sometimes for under $30. I paid about $28 here in Taiwan. Again, this is one of those things. When you find it on Amazon, you might find it available in your local store. So you're not waiting for Amazon to ship it to Taiwan in my case. But yeah. And this is customizable, right? Because most motherboards or modern computers in the last 4 to 5 years, they have about a good 28, 29 sensors inside. So if you can use upload and download, so you can see if somebody's utilizing your network or your internet connection, you can see so your hard drive utilization rate, how much data has been written and read at the same time. So you can see your CPU temperatures, of course, as you can see the GPU, you can see GPU utilization. So if you have an 8 gigabyte card and you're playing Cyberpunk 2077, how much RAM is being used there? You can see regular RAM usage. So I have 32 gigabytes. I think my computer peaks at about 16 gigabytes of RAM when I'm encoding videos and stuff. So there's lots of stuff to keep an eye on. Basically, for this, for me, is the main reason is to keep an eye out on temperatures because you have temperature monitors built into your computer, but again, it's just for alt tabbing. Secondary reason is just for security, because sometimes you might have a virus or something non-malicious thing on your computer. One of the good ways you can check on that is to check your internet upload and download. You can check your CPU utilization rate. Most people's CPU, even when you're playing a game, shouldn't be more than 40 to 50%. If your CPU is capping out about 70 or 80%, you probably got something running in the background that is killing your computer and making it slow. This is one of those things you can also take with you if you have your mom or a dad. So, my God, my computer is running slow. You plug it into your computer and you can see, okay, this is what is making my mom's computer run slow, or my aunt or my cousin or my friend. And you can help them diagnose the problem and fix it if you are that like technical computer person. So again, really affordable, really easy to use. You just plug in. The app starts automatically when you run your Windows and you're golden. Yeah. Cool. All right. And then Anton, what is your next gadget?
Okay, very quickly, because we still want to hit that 37 minutes window. My next gadget, so it's a bit more pricey. Again, it's around the $100 mark, and it's simply a wall mount for dual screen. I used to have only one screen, which I thought was grand. And again, same as this, I got a second screen, put a wall mount for two reasons. First, because I can game and have my news on the other show, on the other screen. And second, because I have a nice desk, which is very small. And with already one monitor on it, and one keyboard and one mousepad, it was already full. Just moving the monitor on the wall, having two monitors, that's absolutely fantastic. I really like it. So that's something that you need to be a little bit handy to put it. You need to aim for the stud in the wall. Otherwise, everything is going to come crashing down. Try to be a little bit handy first. But it's quite easy to put on your wall, and it's going to really improve your gaming. I took the dual one. Of course, you can have it as three. You can have it as four with two screen and two on top. You can have it any kind of configuration you want. Two is already quite good.
Nice. And how long did it take you to install?
Half an hour. What's long is to aim for the stud. After, it's just like you drill your holes, you put some big, very big screw, I don't know how you call it, and that's it.
And so did you have one of those special stud finder things that people buy?
No, but I can see what's behind my wall.
Ah, okay.
I have a door because it's a hot water heater, so I can see where my stud is. So there's just a couple of probing holes with my screwdriver and screwdriver versus. Anyway, with my drill.
Okay, and a last question, Anton. Like, how easy is it to mount your monitors on the actual part of the stand?
Far easier than it is to mount a TV on a TV mount.
Okay.
Far easier, because all your screens compared to TV, all of your screens, if you mount it, if you check behind, you have this typical four screw, which are standard for all screens, and your mount comes with it. So you just remove what's originally on your screen, mount wall on it, clip it on the wall, that's it. And I don't know, it's pressure. The arm's pressure is adjustable. So it's very easy to move and then to set and in any specific place.
Nice. That is still my dream. All right, Adam, what do you have for us today?
So I have, hang on, let me get the picture right. So some kind of art tablet. I have one actually, but the thing is, the one I have is one of these. So there's no screen on it. So what's happening is, if you're doing some kind of art, because obviously I do the art for the show and whatnot, I'm looking here, but I'm drawing down here. So I can't see my hands while I'm working. And it's okay, but I'm not a big fan of not being able to see my hands when I draw. For me, it's a little bit irritating, to the point that actually I still actually prefer to use the mouse if I'm doing the art, which is, from what I've heard, not looked at too fondly in the art community. But that's still how I mostly do it, is with the mouse. But yeah, I think having a screen would be really nice. You can also use these as a second screen if you need to or if you want to. So just some sort of drawing tablet like that I think would be really cool and interesting to have. They can run all over the place. Some of them are as low as maybe 200 US, and other ones can go over 1,000 US. So depending on which brand you're getting and what size you're getting, because some are bigger, some are... I think that for me, that would just be really useful and fun to have. The other problem that I have with this one, and I don't know why it happens, but apparently it's not a one-for-one transition on the pad as it is to the screen. So maybe that's part of the reason why I had trouble getting used to it. I only found that out because my wife was doing some, she was selling some baked goods. And so she had a little logo that she drew up and she wanted me to transfer it to the computer. So rather than use Photoshop and scan it, I thought I'll use Illustrator, and that way I can still have that, I can size it up or shrink it down and not have to worry about losing resolution. So I just put the piece of paper on top of the tablet and then just traced it. And then I was looking down and I look at the screen and I'm like, that's weird. And then I realized, oh, wait, it's not one for one. If you move, say, an inch to the right on the screen, it'll move an inch to the right. But if I move an inch up on the screen, it'll move half an inch up. So when you were drawing, it was just weird. So there was a setting that I could set to change that. But the fact that was the default was really bizarre for me. It works okay, but I would prefer something that I could see with a screen where I can see where my hand is going and everything.
Adam, the one pictured on the video, is that like a LCD, LED, OLED screen?
I think that one is LED. This is a Wacom right here, which is one of the better known brands for this sort of thing. What I have is also a Wacom.
Yeah.
But I think this one's LED. I don't think it's OLED. I think it's just LED. But some of them can be 4K. This one I think is 1080. 1080p. Like I said, depending on your price range, you can get higher quality, you can get higher resolution. Some of them will have touch screen things that you can use your finger, whereas other ones require the pen. So yeah, it really depends on what your price range is as to what you can get.
So I guess a last question, because we are running a bit short on time, is like, for some people, right, they would have heard of the Apple Pencil and your iPad. And what is that famous app on the iPad for drawing? I can't remember. SketchUp? No, I don't know what it is. But so at the low end, you're still cheaper than an iPad and an actual Apple Pencil, right?
At the low end, yeah.
Yeah. Have you ever drawn with an Apple Pencil? Is it a comparable experience?
I've never drawn with an Apple Pencil, but I would say they're probably about the same. I wouldn't expect too much of a difference. The difference is that these really are just drawing pads. They don't have built-in apps. You can't use it as a tablet on its own. You have to run it through the computer. Basically, what you're using it as is it's a really sensitive touch screen that you can use for drawing and things like that. But it's not a tablet in its own right. It's not going to have the processing power on its own to do that sort of thing. So that's why the price is lower.
Very cool. And then we are almost done with today's show. But next week, Adam, do you want to tell us what we're talking about?
Sure. So today is the release of the 40 series for the RTX cards for NVIDIA. And so I was thinking, with these new graphic cards, we're in the 40 series now. I still have a 10 series, so I'm three generations behind by now. So I was thinking maybe it'd be a good idea to talk about some games that are not going to break your graphics card, and just some low resolution or at least not graphically intensive games that people can enjoy without having to worry about the cyberpunk issue and all that. So
that sounds like a fantastic topic. And yep, so that is it, everyone. I hope you have a fantastic rest of your week. And we will see you guys next week, Wednesday, at the same time for low GPU power games or indie games or whatever we're going to take this. But yeah, stay tuned. And don't forget to follow us on social media. And we'll see you guys next week.
Bye-bye.
That's all we have time for, folks. Please don't forget to follow, like, subscribe, and share on social media. We are trying to build the best possible community out there. We want to create a home for people just like you. You can find Middle Age Gaming on YouTube, Twitter, Discord, Gmail, and Instagram. Thanks for listening, and don't forget to tune in to Adam and Phil's stream to have a chat with them. See you later!